This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In the first hour, we are going to still talk about some of the volatility that we are continuing to see in U.S. equity markets, and also spend a little bit of time on the commodities sector, which continues to, or at least the precious metals, which continue to hang in there in the face of a higher dollar. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Matt Zablosky. He is the founder of Delbrook Capital. I've had Matt on the show one time before, and we were talking uranium. This time we're going to talk about some of the other commodities that Matt thinks, from a fundamental aspect, are getting a little bit ignored by investors due to what are still on everybody's mind, these trade wars. Some of these commodities include some of the more old school commodities, let's say copper and nickel, but you're also lumping zinc in here as well. Matt, can you break down some of these fundamentals that you think are being ignored for these commodities, please?
Sure, absolutely. For us, looking at the fundamentals of the actual commodities, I think we look at things like simple demand supply. You know, the supply demand dynamics within copper, for example, are exceedingly bullish at the moment. We think a lot of the base metals, the old metals, as you had mentioned, are being held back more by macro headwinds. Those macro headwinds coming from, you know, the rhetoric around U.S. trade policies. So if you can put that rhetoric aside, and it's our belief that that the headwinds on that front should abate in 2019, you know, the actual fundamentals of the copper market are exceedingly strong right now. We are not that far from deficit in terms of the demand-supply dynamics, and there are all sorts of red flags from our standpoint anyways with regards to supply. We have increased labor disruption, mostly in South America, within some of the large copper mines. On the demand side, you know, we've had exceedingly resilient demand coming out of China, especially with their Belt and Road initiative that's gone on. But then, you know, if you take one sort of step back and, you know, look at some of these base metals, no one has really applied any of the electrification thesis. I'm talking, you know, specifically about vehicles and things like that. Electric vehicles. No one's applied that sort of view to the base metals. Everyone's chased the, you know, the lithiums, the cobalts, or, you know, whatever in the world, but they haven't gone back and said, you know, what's this actually going to do for the demand picture for something like copper or nickel sulfide? And it's our belief that that really is going to be a thesis in 2019. You know, our price target internally here, mid-year 2019, is for something like, you know, $3.50 copper, and we don't think it's going to be that hard to get the market there once people begin to focus on it a bit more.
Okay, an interesting price target for copper. And one thing that you mentioned there, that whole electrification narrative that people aren't really attributing to some of these older school metals like copper. I've sat through a number of presentations where people have been trying to point out, look, copper is key in this whole electrification movement. But talking about distractions as well, maybe that's another problem that copper's had, is all these other metals, some of the electrification metals that have more popped in the last 2 or 3 years, it's further distracted people. It's turned into a market of what's going to make me money this year rather than looking in a longer 3, 5, 10 year outcome for these type of metals. What do you think?
Look, I think, you know, the easy trade for most of the market is, you know, to play on the back of the momentum in some of these less liquid commodities, things like cobalt. I mean, the cobalt market is quite small, easily manipulated. You know, based in mostly in Central Africa with regards to production, dominated by a couple of big players. So, you know that does create a distraction when these metals move. We obviously, being a hedge fund, are trading in the space both long and short within the equities and credits in the markets. But for some of these less understood metals, it's great. The momentum's your friend in these things, and it creates a distraction from the core demand supply dynamics of much larger metals like copper. But for us, the way we look at it is, if you can trade those momentum plays well, that's fine. That's a great way to make money. But what our thesis right now on copper is, in particular, is that the demand supply fundamentals are there for a very bullish move in copper in 2019. And we put our fundamental hats on, not our trading hats, and we say there are very few quality copper assets globally, and we believe a huge thesis within the space in 2019 and beyond will be consolidation. Copper is lining up for a very strong 2019-2020, and there's all sorts of factors, both demand and supply, that are pointing towards that. We just need the market to focus on it.
Exactly. And that can sometimes be a frustrating and time-consuming endeavor, is waiting for the market to actually start focusing on that. Which brings me to my next question of, there are a number of investors out there that say, I've heard this whole supply and demand, how it sets up more positively for certain metals, but it doesn't really seem to drive the markets as much as some of the comments would like everyone to believe, or as much as they believe that metal should move higher. This isn't just for copper. You can say this is for pretty much every metal across the board when you've heard a bullish argument for it. What's your response to these questions or comments?
Yeah, look, so our response is, in the short term, there's a difference between the short term movements and the long term fundamentals. The short term movements within the metal space, I think when our analysts look at it, depending on the metal, it's, 90% of the short term movements can be attributed basically to U.S. dollar movements, right? That's, strongest obviously with gold, and then also very strong with copper. What we're saying in this case, though, is we are now sort of an uncharted territory. We have had underinvestment in mines globally now for going on a decade. And we're talking about, paying for the sins of the early 2000s, the Chinese supercycle, when everything was overbuilt, when capital was very loose in the system. We overbuilt. Now we've gone through basically a 10-year depression within the mining space. All the money that we had spent in 2005, 6, 7, built these great mines. All those mines, the majority of those mines have now been depleted. So the pounds of copper have been removed. The ounces of gold have been removed. But we haven't reinvested in the space. So when people say they've heard this before, my response to them simply is, you haven't seen it the way it is right now, where the sector's been starved for capital for this long, yet you have some very good demand forecasts on things like electrification going into the next decade. So we're almost reaching a point now of critical importance. We haven't reinvested in the space. We haven't reinvested in discovery, development, or any type of production. So for us, it's really going to be a critical movement in specific commodities in the next couple of years, and I think that will open people's eyes to what's different this time.
Can we wrap it up by talking about where you see the opportunities, where you're positioning your portfolio when it comes to, say, this more bullish outlook you have for copper, even nickel, or even zinc?
Yeah, for us, it's sort of a barbell approach. The majority of the capital we have at risk within, say, the copper space would be buying late-stage development assets, things like First Quantum, maybe a little bit of, names like Euro Copper, companies that are high-quality producers. We then look to, hedge some exposure out. So it would be short things like a Freeport. Freeport does have a declining production balance going into 2019. I don't think the market quite realizes that yet. On the other end of the barbell are some very high-quality exploration assets that are out there, right? So things like Soul Gold, which is a massive copper-gold deposit that is being explored in Central America.
Hey, that all makes perfect sense, and I know our listeners know that Saul Gold story very well. Interesting to hear from you, Matt. I really appreciate what you do over at Delbrook Capital and how you're looking at these markets. Have a great rest of your weekend and a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
I'm Rick Ossick, president of Famous Footwear. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Famous Footwear to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Famous Footwear's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am now chatting with Lobo Tigre. He is the founder and editor of The Independent Speculator. We're going to continue our discussions focused on the resource sector. But Lobo, what we're first going to talk about is news that hit a couple weeks ago now for a company that has been followed by a lot of newsletter writers, and in all fairness, a lot of newsletter writers that I respect as well, but they issued some drill results that very much disappointed the market. We are talking about Evrim Resources. Evrim is traded on the TSX Venture under the symbol EVM. There was a lot of confidence and enthusiasm coming into these drill results, and when we saw the headline numbers, which were taken very much as a miss by the market, the stock dropped about 70 to 75% and has since held that level. Can I get your quick comments on what you thought of the drill results and maybe that euphoria heading into these assays?
Sure. It's multifaceted here. It's quite striking how strongly the stock got whacked on the first couple folds. Yes, it's disappointing. We had a couple grams over, you know, really broad or long intersections at surface in the channel sampling. So when you get, you know, tens of meters of a gram in a bit, by comparison, I can understand why people are disappointed. But this is one third of the current drill program, so it's by no means necessarily done. And you know, maybe they just happen to hit a skinny part. It's hard to say. But obviously, expectations were very high, and under current market conditions, which are generally described in the industry as crappy, I guess it's not too surprising that, you know, some people had enough or decided it was too risky. My speculation here, and this isn't speculation, I don't know, is that there was one large investor who just said, oh, forget it. I mean, look at the volume. This wasn't a strong drop on a few shares traded here and there. It was a huge amount of volume. So I think there was probably somebody in at lower prices and just said, you know what, this is too risky, I'm out, and sold a very, very large position. And that's why the thing was overdone. That having been said, the company still has the royalty from Ermitaño, which was a significant discovery they were involved in, partnered with First Majestic. It has other assets. This is a prospect generator, as you mentioned. So to toss the whole thing out almost based on a very first round of drilling that didn't live up to expectations, it seems way overdone to me. I don't own the stock for whatever it's worth. I have no skin in the game on this one, no horse in the race, if you will. But if you like prospect generators, selling one, you know, so drastically because the very first round of drilling on a project doesn't deliver the goods is frankly, it's unreasonable. It tells me somebody doesn't really understand the prospect generator or exploration in general.
That is the risk of exploration, but this does play into a larger discussion on project generators. There are some people in the sector that love project generators, and when you really take a look at their business model, it does make sense. Try to get other people to spend money on your projects and carry some sort of an interest, possibly convert that interest into a royalty in these tough markets, or as you even described them, crappy, which I completely agree with. Do you see the opportunity still for prospect generators, just considering right now how tough it seems like, to get anybody spending a lot of money on exploration, especially if they don't own the project outright?
Right. Yeah. So there's absolutely no question that the prospect generator business model, the JV business model, if you want to call it that, is the most rational way to go about exploration. To use another technical term, exploration sucks. It's a really bad business. You drill holes in the ground. You literally pour money into holes in the ground expecting to get nothing for it. In most cases, you get nothing. And you keep doing it, and eventually it pays off. But the default expectation for any given drill hole is zero, unless you're already into the discovery phase. But that's later. We're talking about early stage exploration. Even the very best in the business repeatedly fail at making discoveries. The reason why they're the best is because they've ever made any discoveries at all, not because they make them all the time. And even the biggest companies in the business that have lots and lots of money, tens of millions of dollars to throw at drill programs and early stage exploration, you know, even they come up dry so regularly that they're always buying up the juniors that make significant discoveries because they can't keep up. They can't maintain their reserves on their own. So exploration is such a low probability business, right, that offsetting the risk with other people's money is, there's just no question. It's the only rational way to go about it. And now the counter to that is people say, well, why would I give away, you know, 60 or 70 or more percent of my project if I think it's any good? Well, you may think it's good, but until you have a discovery, you have nothing. So yes, you're giving away a large percentage of it, but you're giving away basically all the risk of that early stage exploration. So, 60, 70, 80% of the project versus 100% of the risk, the math is disproportionate there. And anybody who doesn't see that, you know, really should reconsider that mathematics. And one more thing. Yes, you're giving away 60, 70, whatever percent up front. But even if you hold on to a project 100%, you're going to be giving away a large chunk of it, if not most of it, over the course of the discovery and development process. Because it takes money to make a discovery. And every time your exploration company, which has no revenue, has to issue new shares to raise money to drill holes in the ground, pour money into the ground, you're getting diluted. Unless you buy every single placement and maintain your position all the way along, your ownership of, or your, you know, percent ownership of the asset drops, right? You know, if you have 10 million shares out at the beginning and they raise a bunch of money and issue another 10 million shares, you own 50% less of the asset than you did before. And that happens repeatedly over the process. And then even if you get lucky enough that there's a discovery, you have to build the mine. And usually that comes with a combination of debt where the bank or lender wants an offtake deal, you know, a hedge, which is giving up an interest. And there's usually an equity component, a large one, where you're raising hundreds of millions of dollars to build a mine. So you're issuing a lot of shares. Again, your ownership percentage gets reduced over time between exploration and production, whether you follow the JV model or not. So if my ownership is going to be reduced by the time the first ounce of gold is produced, one way or the other, why not put all the risk on somebody else? Why not have other people's money pay for that very highest risk stage of the early stage? So I'm a huge fan of the model. It's to my mind, you know, the way to go about early stage, you know, pre-discovery exploration. I have to say at the moment, I don't own any prospect generators. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm just not actually interested in early stage exploration at this point in the market. It's so iffy, it's so chancy, and the market is not rewarding good exploration work.
All right. Hey, Lobo, it's great chatting with you. I do always head to your website, read over some of your free content, and I do appreciate what you share with members. I will post a link below or, well, within the weekend show posting for everybody to find out more about Lobo's newsletter. Again, that is the Independent Speculator. If you have any follow-up questions on companies or on the general sector, I'm always available at fleck@kereport.com. Lobo, again, thank you for your time, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, you too, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Trading involves financial risk. It is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back. Because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on. Goodness. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa, don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes. And they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me. Is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal. You cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Nicholas Pardini. I've had him on the show only one other time, but he is going to become a very regular guest on the show. Nicholas is the founder of the Davos Investment Group, and an interesting article or synopsis that you have been writing and researching here, Nicholas, is this news recently out of Uber and Lyft, but then a few other companies that you expect to be following in their footsteps, entering the public markets, going through an IPO. This has repercussions around the markets in more of a macro sense. First, take us through why this caught your eye, these IPOs from Uber and Lyft, and some of the macro implications you're thinking.
Well, what caught my eye, these companies and a lot of these other tech unicorns, for lack of a better term, have been trying to hold off IPOing as long as possible because they're trying to avoid scrutiny of quarterly earnings or wanted the more flexibility that you get as a private company versus being a public company. You don't have to deal with short sellers. It's another benefit. And so it's kind of odd that all of a sudden, as soon as sentiment against tech, as we've seen with certain the NASDAQ performing, how cryptocurrencies have been performing, and some of the more speculative, less profitable tech companies in the market have been performing, that they have a sudden change of heart about IPOing. Now they're like in a hurry to file as fast as they can. And that's what caught my eye on this.
So that is kind of unique in the sense where these unicorn companies seem to consistently be able to find all the funding they needed from high net worth people in and around their area. Do you think that's starting to dry up a little bit? Because, quite frankly, how long can a company go, something like Uber, that just kept losing hundreds of millions of dollars?
Well, I think that it's the thing is that there's a lot of private money up in the Bay Area, but they've already put so much funding into these private startups that for the marginal extra dollar, especially with interest rates being higher, that other assets that are considered historically safer or more steady returns are now generating higher yields. You don't need to speculate as far on the risk curve to get the type of returns that you need. I think that has a lot to do with it, just general Fed tightening, more than all of a sudden people in Silicon Valley deciding to go the other way.
Now that's interesting. So the Fed tightening is even hitting this sector of the markets. And I guess it's hard to say that it was even a sector of the markets because these companies are private. But when you look at the amount of money that has been put into them, it's really mind-boggling. This money, I guess, with these higher rates and what the Fed has been doing, just not as available anymore, hey?
Yeah, and also just if you're a pension fund, you don't need to push this far on the risk curve to get returns. I'm not saying pension funds are the main investors, but then just on a marginal basis, everybody can move down a rung on the risk curve and get the same type of returns they were when rates were zero with their previous type of investments. And then just you generally, just you have seen sentiment decline, and the sensitivity of the Bay Area economy to the NASDAQ is quite acute.
Yeah, it really is. Now, in terms of some of these other companies that you think could be joining the fray, where do you see this coming from, and how much money do you think is going to be injected or needs to be freed up to support these IPOs?
Well, I mean, the IPOs are going to be a fraction of the total market cap of these companies, and it will be phased out in lockup periods, which are usually 3, 6, and 12 months away from the IPO date. So it's not like Uber is going to dump all 100 billion plus of its market cap on day one. But what the thing is, if you combine the market caps of the last valuation numbers for all of these unicorns that want to go public, and I'm including Airbnb and Palantir and Slack in this too, which they haven't filed any papers, but I've been reading reports on Bloomberg and other places that it seems like they're interested in filing for IPO sometime in early 2019. That's over $200 billion in market cap, which is the equivalent of like a fourth of an Apple entering the market, and the marginal buyer, I'm wondering where that bid is going to come from, because the tech stocks are already at high valuations, and these investors who are into that sector already invested when it was private. So my question is, where's the new money going to come from to hold up these valuations? And if it isn't, how low are they going to go before the market clears?
That's a pretty key question, but it also just has to go with how weak the tech sector has been just recently, though. Remember, the tech sector was able to climb back to all-time highs just after summer, but has then fallen again. There's a lot more indecision and a lot more fear that's crept into that sector recently. Can you address that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, in companies that are outside the tech sector, they're usually, at least in the large caps, they're usually making sizable profits. And so as a result, you can have kind of a base valuation based on a certain, like a lower earnings multiple. And that would be a bid from value investors or stronger hands who would buy it at a lower price. But these tech companies, which are burning lots of cash, and a lot of them have very distant or no signs of profitability in the foreseeable future, there is no floor, really. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to zero, because they do add material value to society. It's just, there's just not an obvious entry point for value investors to come in, is what I'm trying to say.
How much do you think this potentially has to do with the type of liquidity squeeze, relating back to those comments we already made on the Fed tightening and the potential of other central banks tightening? Money just isn't as available, and that can hit pretty much everything across the board, can't it?
Well, yeah, I think that's more just of a macro theme, is that every asset price is priced off of the risk-free rate because of just the time value of money. And basically, whether it's real estate, stocks, bonds, or any other sort of type of financial investment, they're priced basically on a cap rate, which is essentially Fed funds or the 10-year treasury rate, plus a certain risk premium depending on the liquidity and the volatility of that asset. And the way you'd calculate that is that basically just from the standard Gordon growth model is that you divide the cash flow by the required rate of the return. And if the required rate of return is lower, you could have much higher asset prices. And that's what was going on for many years when you had rates both in terms of the Fed funds rate, which dropped to zero, and Treasury yields, which fell well below 2%, kept putting a bid on assets. But when that goes the other way around and the required rate of return goes up, asset valuations adjust accordingly.
Now, as we've seen recently, a fair bit of money has flown into the Treasury market and brought down some of these yields, at least on the open market. Plus, we now have a few more fears creeping into the overall Fed rate hiking narrative for next year. We won't hear from the Fed until next week, but how do you think this might impact or maybe support a little bit more money going into risk-on equities if rates do manage to stay low or if the Fed does manage to pause?
Well, it depends on the why for the pause, more whether they do the pause or not. I could see this going either way. If the Fed pauses because they think there's a meaningful growth slowdown and a higher probability of recession, you can see assets sell off anyway because even if the required rate of return goes down, the expected earnings or the expected future earnings for less profitable companies goes down. So it doesn't make a difference. However, if the Fed is able to drive rates down without causing fear of a recession, then yeah, it might provide a little bit of a bid in these assets. But that's a very thin needle to thread.
Okay. Some key considerations for next year. And if anybody wants more information on Nicholas Pardini, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. In the meantime, Nicholas, thank you very much for your time. Have a great Christmas, great holiday season, and I look forward to chatting with you in the new year.
You're welcome.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. Smart BP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems, the smart blood pressure tracker.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the KE Report Weekend Edition. I am wrapping up this first hour with Trader Vic Sparandio. He is a favorite, I know, of a lot of our listeners. And Trader Vic, let's start talking about a recap of this year. It was a volatile year for the markets. We are hearing more and more out of the central banks of different paths that they are or did take this year. But now looking into next year, we could be seeing different paths from there. I want to first just get your general comments on what were some of the standouts that you're going to remember that you think were very important from 2018.
All right. Well, most people, and it's hard to diverge from what I'm going to say, view the world through the central banks. And that has been true and is certainly still true to a degree. And what I mean by that is you really should start to switch your main focus to governments, the trends of governments. Now, what do I mean by that? That means take a look at what happened with Brexit, right? The people versus the globalists. Who are the globalists? Multinationals, right? And you look around the world and the countries that are going anti-globalist, meaning national populist is the word that's mostly used, they're going to do the best. Poland, Czechoslovakia, now Brazil. I'm really looking for things to do in Brazil. But the key is the countries that are have been globalist and still are, like France, they are going to do extremely poorly. So the euro is truly toast. Now, let me say that, to be fair, back in 09, or it was January of 10, I said the euro is going to break up. But you see, when you try to predict, you can't predict those things. You can only say they will. I mean, Russia lasted 73 years, you know, so you can't make a timing prediction. But the key to the year was the back and forth and the fights between the globalists or elites and the people. People had voted in Donald Trump. They voted against the establishment and against the elites. And that has really been the key factors of this year. Now, the Fed has raised rates three times or so. There is no inflation. See, the problem is governments are corrupt. They have an agenda. They're bought and paid for. Paul Ryan, thank God he's gone. He's bought and paid for. This man was worth $7 million, making $180,000 a year in 2015. He's got $10 million in his campaign fund now. When he leaves, that's his. His net worth is 30-odd million, I'm sure. Now, how do you do that? He's making 234 now. How do you do it? You're corrupt. You're selling out to somebody, right, for a stock tip, for insider stock, whatever it might be. The same thing with McConnell. So, really, you got to focus on the Fed, and I'm going to get into that. But the year, the volatility of the year really was made up of the game slowing and therefore the game changing and governments going back and forth, and the European Union is a loser here. Look at, you got May lost a no confidence vote. Merkel's gone. She's just there in person. She's already appointed a person that she wants you to vote for the next time around. And now Macron, who's got an 18% approval rating, the man is gone. He's gone. France is gone. It's just a matter of when. Now, again, you can't predict these things because governments have a way when they're in control to delay things. Just like I said, look at the Soviet Union, the worst of all worlds. It took them 73 years to end. It's just a matter of time. So hard to predict. But, you know, you have to have a long-term view. Like, I wouldn't touch an investment in the European Union. So, but what I would do is start to look for investments, and these are examples, in Brazil. Because Brazil, with this new Trump-like guy, Bonsino, I have to see his name, but he's going to change things around. He's an anti-communist. He's going to make things work just like Trump did for Brazil. So Brazil is a winner, European Union a loser.
So what about if we look into next year in terms of U.S. equities as well? Because we are ending the year with a lot more fear creeping into investors' minds. And quite frankly, that whole passive investing narrative is long gone now.
All right. Key point, and this is more important than what I just gave you, is the big picture. This is the micro picture I'm going to give you now, and it has to do with the Fed. But let's take an example, tips, which is a reflection of inflation. It made a closing low on November the 2nd, the same day the market topped. That was the top, the low of tips. Now, the way I see it is that the pressure on the Fed is fairly extreme at this point because they're slowing the U.S. economy without inflation. You had inflation come in yesterday flat, unchanged, which was expected, so nothing really materially happened. But you've got a year-over-year now of 2.1 in core. The highs of inflation came in July, year-over-year. So you're slowing down, and now oil down a third, it's going to affect all prices, even if it didn't affect them last month. Some are delayed. You're not getting any inflation. Why is the Fed raising rates? Because, in my view, in a very cynical way, they want to get rid of Trump, too. Everybody wants to get rid of Trump. I've never seen anything like it. The man is hated. Let's go through the motions. Next week, the 18th and 19th, the Fed meets. They're supposed to raise rates a quarter, and then they're supposed to be done. Remember back in October 3rd, when the market topped, in a speech that Jerome Powell made, he basically said we're far away from neutral. Now, neutral is a mystical concept anyway, but it basically means interest rates are in sync with inflation-adjusted GDP growth. That's what it means. But it could be anything you want it to be. I mean, there's no objective method of measuring it. It's all in the mind of the Fed, which is what they want. They want to be able to do whatever they want. So So now, in the latest speech he made, which was about a week ago, he said, well, we're just under the natural rate of interest, the neutral rate, as he calls it. So how did he go from being way overpriced to, in a matter of a month? I mean, you see, this is the kind of stuff that you can't get away from being a cynic of a government. So anyway, my view is they do not raise rates the 19th. Now, if they do, it doesn't matter because they're going to say, you know, we're going to be data dependent now. And like I said, inflation is flat. There is no inflation. So you can't make excuses for inflation, and the world is slowing. Europe, Germany had a down GDP. The world is slowing, and you have no inflation. Why would the Fed raise rates? What does all this mean? It means that really you should be long on the 18th in equities, looking for this big blast rally on a surprise in most people's boats, although there are a few people saying what I just said. There's a few people. Naomi Prinz, who's a Fed watcher, a smart woman, she is leaning that they're not going to raise rates either. So you get a big rally between the 19th and the end of the year, the first week of January, which is the last rally you're going to get to short.
All right. Well, a lot to unpack there, Trader Vic, and a lot to consider with Europe continuing to struggle, the U.S. and what the Fed is doing. We're going to see what they come out with next week. That's going to be interesting. And then into next year, if we do get that little short-term rally, just how high that rally goes, and if people can actually short into it, or if they get on that train and think that everything's going to be rosy again. Trader Vic, great having you on the show, everybody. Thanks for listening into the first hour. Please keep in touch. Email me at fleck@kereport.com. Also, go back over this week. It was a very busy one for a lot of the companies that we follow on the website, releasing news and providing updates, looks into 2019. Always, please click on those interviews and provide us with your feedback and any questions you have for the companies. Trader Vic, thanks again for your time. And everybody, second hour, I am turning it over to Big Al.
My pleasure. Happy holidays.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.